Proverbs 23 and verse 23. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Buy the truth and sell it not. 2 Timothy chapter 1, please. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Reading at verse 13. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me or from me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Chapter 2 and verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Now that is all that we'll read, and we trust that God will bless these passages and the thoughts that are taken from them this afternoon. I intend to follow along with the theme of challenge this afternoon. Now, mind you, brethren, I don't believe that every conference there has to be a theme of thought that will travel through it and every speaker has to speak upon that theme. Obviously, with the diversity of need, that oftentimes there's a diversity of subjects in ministry, or there are occasions when there are themes. I would like to think not so much in that passage of buy the truth and sell it not as truth in the whole sense of the word and all that is true, but I want to think of it in relationship to Christian experience and the responsibilities of believers to learn and put into practice those things most assuredly believed amongst us concerning church truth. So I want to look at church truth. In other words, the gathered up companies of believers to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, things pertaining to those companies and the responsibility of the believers that go to make up those companies. Maybe I could break my message down into three simple headings that I have used to file it in this sometimes foggy mind of mine and to help you retain something of what I have said. I want to think of the truth then as something to be purchased. There's a price for it. I want to think of the truth as something to be possessed or held fast. And I want to think of the truth as something to be passed on. That the responsibility of a believer is not just to simply come to some understanding of their Bible or be knowledgeable as to its context or the meaning of verses, but to take those truths and incorporate them into their lives, to hold them tenaciously, regardless of changing circumstances and a changing environment. And finally, to pass them on to others. Commit the same to others. So let's just look at it then in that order. The truth, something to be purchased. You know, I've noticed that, I'm sure that you have, and little things like this help keep things in my mind. I don't try deliberately to be an illustrator. I was illustrating before I was even saved. It's just readily is the way I do things. So if you don't illustrate, you don't have to illustrate to preach. And if you do illustrate, you should contain it so that the illustrations don't become bigger than what you're illustrating. But let me say this. When it comes to, and I'm sure our sisters will be kind and realize I don't mean to in any ways malign them, but they'll have to agree. You know, when my wife and I go shopping, and I sometimes go along with her, it's quite an experience, tires me out more than knocking on doors for a whole day. And we go up, our approach to going out shopping is very different. You know what it is? When she goes out, she goes shopping. In other words, she is looking at things that possibly we thinks we need or we do need or she would like to have. And she is turning it over, looking at price tags. I'm glad of that. And thinking to herself, putting it down, that possibly I'll be able to find something of the same character or the same quality somewhere else at a better price. So she goes somewhere else, and she looks for something else. And finally, she's really coming to the point, I'm looking all around so that I can get what I want at a price I'm willing to pay for it. Basically, that's the principle of shopping, where most men tend to go on buying trips. Men generally have, now I know that there are a lot of men who have become more, I want to say miserly, that sounds terrible, but more careful in their expenditure, especially with the strains of our economy today. But generally a man is thinking, well, I'm going to buy this, and I need that, and you go to the store and you say, there it is. And maybe you might take a glance at the price, but you really come home and you went out to buy something. You had every intention in your mind of going to a place where you could find it, getting it, and paying the price for it. Let me say this. When it comes to the truth of God's Word, we are not to be on shopping trips. We are not to be looking at things and thinking like this. I will incorporate that truth into my experience. If I can get it at my price, if I can do it at something I am willing to pay, but if it costs too much, I'm going to wait until either the price comes down or I can find something near to it that won't cost me quite so much. Isn't that the thought of the Lord Jesus had? Or isn't that the thought of the truth where it says, if any man will do the will of God, he shall know the doctrine. If any man will to do the will of God, he shall know the doctrine. I know the context of that. I'm just saying that because there are brethren here that I don't want to make them think that I don't know it. It's kind of really, it's not really that humble, is it? and maybe I don't. but the thought is this. If an individual has made up their mind, Lord, you show me, I'll buy it. I'll pay for it. I'm not looking for any deals. There's never a time when God's truth goes on sale. I am willing to pay a price. It might be a price as far as promotion. It might be a price as far as popularity. It might be a price as far as the taking away things for the aggrandizement of my person. It might really cost me something to put that particular truth that I am looking at in the Word of God, in my experience, and to live it. But Lord, I am willing to pay it. If any man will to do the will of God, he shall know the doctrine. You know, whenever I think of this passage, I'm reminded of a brother. Brother Teddy knows him well. He's dear to both of us, Brother John Vanderlands. I remember the first time Johnny came to a meeting at the hall. As a matter of fact, we were rather a strange pair to be sitting together. We enjoy each other's company. Johnny was an RCMP member. And you know what I was. But I'm going to tell you, you talk about the middle wall of petition. Look, we just enjoyed the things of God brought us together and removed everything. And you got to watch your speed when you're with John. But anyway, I remember the first time he came out to a meeting in the hall. He sat back and he watched a New Testament church functioning according to the Scriptures. You know, he came for a while and he disappeared. He used to come by my place, even when he wasn't coming out to the hall, different times. We had an agreement. If the candle was burning in my window or the light was on, even up 2 o'clock in the morning when he was on duty, he would pull by, knock on the door gently. My wife always heard of it anyway. And I'd get my Bible and I'd go out with him, spend about an hour with him sitting in the car. Many's the time the speeders got deterred as they saw that RCMP car with a light on inside of it, and it gave itself away. And we sat there and we looked at different scriptures. I remember one night in particular. This is what he said to me. He wouldn't mind. I know he doesn't mind me telling you. Peter, when God saved me, he not only saved me and saved my wife, he saved our marriage. He said our life was on the rocks. And he said, he gave her a husband, he gave me a wife. And he said, you know, Peter, Anne Marie has stated explicitly that if you go to that place, Where we are, John is all right. They have a good preacher there. And the individual that takes all the part, he's an understanding and a comforting man. John the Beaver tried arguing. Here's what she said. She said, John, if you go to that place, it's finished between us. I won't put up with it. I won't go down there and go through the things that they make their women go through. Well, I hope the sisters aren't given that impression. No, they're not. That would literally be, that's a, what would you call it? It's literally a lie that is made up, that these women are literally drudgingly being made to suffer this humiliation, and they hate it, and they're groaning under it. That's the impression she had. She said, you go there, and your bags will be on the step when you come home. He came to me this night. He says, Peter, there's been a verse come to me all day. He said, buy the truth and sell it not. But he says, Peter, that's so much to pay. That will cost me so much. Brother, I want to tell you, I didn't sit there and give him a big oration. I didn't say a thing. I just sat there and prayed for him. Maybe I don't know anything about paying a price. You know, that Lord's Day morning that we were there, to many it was just a regular, usual remembrance meeting. With this oddity, in the back seat was a man from the commencement of his coming and sitting back on that morning. There were tears in his eyes. Resolve in his heart. He sat there with that Bible open. And very few understood that day that there's a man that has literally come to this conclusion. It might cost me everything. But I see it from the Word of God. That it is God's truth. God doesn't have a second best for you. You'll settle for something second best, but not God, not for you. You know, he came out that morning. I didn't have to say a word as we went to the door. I put my arm around him. I said, do you want to go for a, we'll go up for a bite to eat together, you and I, to a restaurant. He says, no, Peter, I got to go home. There are brethren that go home after remembrance meeting. There are sisters that go home to a home like that. But he paid a big price. I want to tell you something. We have a God that is able, a God that is faithful. At this present day, both John and Anne-Marie Vanderlands are in the assembly in Sydney. Gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. She was so stirred by this fact, it means so much to him. He is willing to put so much up for it. If it means that much, I'd better look into it because it must be precious. And she was stirred too. Oh, brother, I one time preached on this. You don't think this was the first time I ever preached about this? It's a truth we need to preach. I may not come out the same all the time. I have no notes. Or I should be keeping them, because sometimes I think I said something better the last time. Well, I was preaching on this one time, and there was a sister there, an older sister, and she met me at the door. I want to tell you, when I preached it this night, there were people that sat in that meeting, and the tears were running down their faces, down their cheeks. Their families had literally turned aside from them. They had lost their jobs because of being identified with Christ. Some of them had missed the ladder of the scale of promotion because they stood for truth. And this dear sister, as I was going out the door, here's what she said. Peter, brother, she said, I paid a lot to come in God's assembly. She said, I'm still paying. It wasn't just one act. It wasn't one moment's decision to the point that I'll buy it, I'll pay for it. And once I've paid that supreme price, then there'll never be a time when I'll cease to pay.
It might not have cost you anything to come into the assembly. There might have been parents that were thrilled. All individuals that you knew literally couldn't wait to get their arms around you and tell you, thank God you're saved and baptized and gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus. It might not have cost you anything to be gathered unto Him without the camp. But brethren, it will cost you something to stay. There is a great price for the truth. Buy the truth. There's nothing more important than whatever it costs us to lay it on the line for the truth of God and incorporate it into our lives. Buy the truth.
Insult not.
It's a purchase to be made. No shopping trips. No looking around in a port. You can find something like it that costs a little less or a lot less or costs nothing. And let's make a deal. No deals. God's truth has to be bought. And I realize that as a younger man, I am looking at believers today, men and women, that paid a big price. And they're still paying. God, thank God for you. I thank God for you. It's a possession to be held. If you were to Cape Breton, lovely place, not as nice as Prince Edward Island, but if you were in Cape Breton,
you would find that it tends to have a
lot of rocks.
We have no rocks in the island, just sandstone. If you want any rocks, you got to bring them over. And when they did one of their parks,
there was a park on
the highway going through one of their parks.
And
when they did it, they
couldn't just do what you
would do here, or maybe you can't do it here, I don't know.
Go
and rake up the soil and then seed it
and water it and
find it comes up all green. They couldn't do that because there wasn't too much
world to
seed and water. So you know what they had to do? They had to get
turf.
Or sod, I don't know
if you understand. Yeah, sure you do.
Little squares of
grass already rooted
and they cut it off of the field
and they take it
and they put it
all to make this park
and they put some soil under it.
Yeah.
But the only problem is when you get to those portions that are coming
down to the road.
Now these are steep, they're like this. And you can
see this grass laying there
going down the road.
Going down the hill.
Well, it's pretty obvious what would happen with any rain or any erosion whatsoever.
Right?
There would be a tendency for this whole thing to
slow and nothing to
hold it. So you know what they do?
They take
little stakes.
Or just small,
about that long.
And they take them and
with a little wooden mallet, they put down
a slab.
Nail, hammer in a few stakes into it.
Put another
one down, hammer it in. So when you look at it,
it's rather pretty.
You got this green carpet
effect
with all these little white marks like
buttons all over it.
Now that would be great, except for one thing. It's near a
camping area. And campers
being what they are,
and maybe being sure of
kindling,
turn around and say, there's
these little pieces
of wood that break
up easy, and
you can use them to
start your fire, and if you're
real lazy, you can get
enough of them to keep your fire. So what's happening? So somebody, hey, these things are holding this
right here.
So there is, and here's got to be the thinking.
Hey, what's the cool
matter, one of these little stakes?
Or
just take one.
We better get a few more. But
you can't start a fire with one stake. Other individuals are thinking the same thing. Nobody intentionally is
vandalizing the
hillside.
Nobody has the desire
to see the whole work
collapse
and fold.
Nobody.
But
everybody's thinking like
this.
If I just take this one little
thing out, surely
it won't matter
that much. And
everybody's thinking
like that.
And
do you know what the outcome is? Sure you know.
When you go by there in the spring, there it is all folded up on the whole thing is slidden and falling down. Brother, let me tell you something. We said today, there is nothing when it comes to truth or practice of believers in a New Testament church. Whether it comes to the truth, your sister's long hair, your head covering, the priesthood of all believers. When it comes to truth and the Word of God, there is none of them that are insignificant. In a book that God reports and says this, that if all the things concerning them that could be written were written, the libraries of this world contain them. And God has given us only one book. Surely everything in that book is of great value. And every truth when it comes to personal testimony is vital. And maybe you think like this, it wouldn't matter if I clip my hair. It wouldn't matter if I got into a situation that's underneath. It's just me. I'm insignificant. And boy, things that are taken and are lost. Assembly, the morning is slipping. Sliding. You know, I think of a man, we pass this place going from Florence to Sussex. There's a sign, it's kind of refreshing. Normally you see all these signs up, but it says for sale. For sale. He's buying, maybe buy some land.
Boy, he says, no, maybe too high.
But they, you know, they buy a little something for a build a house. One man, he has this big sign out. I don't know if it's still there.
Here's what the sign says.
Not
for
sale. You know why he put that there?
People came up to him and said, listen, we don't want the whole field.